Orrin Keepnews is one of the most respected jazz record producers in the business. As the founder of Riverside and Milestone Records, he produced Now Classic Sessions with such jazz luminaries as Thelonious Monk, Bill Evans, Sonny Rollins, Cannonball Adderley, and Wes Montgomery. Keepnews now heads Landmark Records. A few months ago, we spoke with Orrin Keepnews about working with Thelonious Monk. Keepnews had just won a Grammy Award for his liner notes for a Monk box set. Now Keepnews has collected some of his jazz writings from the past 40 years in a new book titled The View from Within. We invited him back to talk about his work with other musicians, such as pianist Bill Evans. Orrin Keepnews produced Evans' first record back in 1956. You recorded pianist Bill Evans for many years. You describe his conflicting drives, that on the one hand, he hated recording and he never really wanted to go into the studio, but on the other hand, he developed a heroin habit and he needed to record because he needed the money.
One of the basic stories about Bill Evans, and one of the elements included in my book, that actually was a set of liner notes originally written for a reissue album that included two very remarkable quintet dates that we did with Bill. And part of the point that I was making was, regardless of the fact that he might have invented the concept of these dates as a way of getting into the studio and getting paid for an album, but nevertheless, he didn't give us any kind of short count as far as idea, as far as performance was concerned. They're magnificent albums. He was never untrue to his music.
He occasionally would ask you for an advance because he needed the money.
Occasionally is putting it mildly.
Really? And he needed the money for his habit. How would you handle it? What would you do?
Generally, I guess, looking in retrospect, I handled it pretty badly, as I handled it in most such cases. And there were several people with the same kinds of problems. I guess I was a pretty easy mark. I never found it very possible to be hard-hearted or businesslike and a stonewall situation. On the other hand, I guess I wasn't doing anybody any favors by making it easy for them. I still don't know the answers to that particular set of problems, because as I wrote about Bill Evans, it was very difficult to be simultaneously his friend, his producer, and his record company.
You had a few jazz hits. One of them was Cannonball Adderley's Jive Samba, which was recorded in 1962. There's a really nice story about making the 10-minute recording of it into the 3-minute hit. Would you tell that?
Sure. That was this, first of all, was a live record date. A particular take that we used was done late on Saturday night, the last set on Saturday night. And what actually happened was some customer came barging into the club, pushing right by the guy at the door who was taking the admission money, plunked himself down at a ringside table, and then moments later, in came the guy from the door to hassle him, to try and get him out of there, and there was a whole big fight going on at the edge of the bandstand, and the crowd was reacting to this, and it wasn't really the music they were reacting to. It was, let's say, the ambience in the club. But on the record, towards the end of the performance, you have this wonderful groundswell of excitement. We ended up taking the less than about 2.5 minutes worth of out chorus, editing that so that became the complete performance for the single. And this brief single, with all of its audience excitement, particularly audible in the channel, in the bridge, in the middle of the piece, became a rather successful single.
That's great. So you were taking what sounded like the excitement of the audience, but it was really over something totally unrelated to the music.
Well, there are trade secrets like that it's safe to let out into the world about
after
20
the
years
fact,
or
right?
so after the fact.
Your new book, Jazz, The View from Within, features things you've written from 1948 through 1987. Now, the early pieces in the book are profiles and critical pieces of musicians who you were interested in, plus book reviews of jazz autobiographies. Now, the very last piece in your book is a criticism on the state of jazz criticism, and you describe jazz criticism as a bad idea, poorly executed. It strikes me that this is a 180-degree change from where you started, which was as a jazz critic.
Well, what happened to change me was the more than 30 years that I've put in as a record producer. But I did start as a writer, and then eventually I became a writer only incidentally. It's album notes writing, or it's if it's a magazine article, it's one that I'm called upon to write as a producer rather than as a writer. And so that I have been on the receiving end, let's say, of jazz writing for many, many years. And I've formed some very strong opinions. And this was my one possibly golden opportunity to express myself on the subject of jazz writing.
The impression I have from this last chapter is that a lot of jazz critics have attributed things to you as a record producer that you really weren't responsible for, and that that's one of the reasons why you no longer trust jazz criticism.
True. I guess one of the major controversies, Sonny Rollins, we recorded together in the 70s. Sonny had certain ideas about working with electric instruments, about dealing with contemporary songs. It was decided arbitrarily that his producer was trying to make him be more commercial. Anybody who had the slightest understanding of Sonny Rollins would have realized the impossibility of me or anybody else influencing the course of his music to that extent. So what I object to is getting the wrong things attributed to you, and then at the other end of the scale, there are people who don't really acknowledge the existence of the producer. I've done two albums in recent years with the Kronos Quartet involving their playing Monk compositions, Bill Evans compositions. This was completely my concept. I even went so far as to say so in the liner notes. But I constantly would come across reviews which would tell us about how Kronos got the idea of. Now, I'm not taking anything away from them, but the producer does have a function which most people writing about jazz seem to be totally unaware of.
You produce so many wonderful records. I wonder if you still own them now. I mean, say the records you did at Riverside Records. Are they still yours? Can you do what you want to with them?
No, unfortunately, I have to take aesthetic pleasure only from a lot of my early work. The Riverside situation was a fairly tangled web. It ended in fiscal disaster in the mid-60s. Those records just physically passed out of my control at that point. However, what did happen is through a fortunate series of circumstances. In the early 70s, when Fantasy Records gained the ownership of those masters from the people who had taken them over, I also became involved at roughly the same time with Fantasy. I was running the jazz program there, so that I was in the position all through the 70s of being the guy who did the reissuing of those original records of mine. But they're not mine in that sense, which I might add is something that has given me a great feeling of kinship with musicians, because in the same way, the guy that plays the record, even though he's got a royalty coming to him on it, has absolutely no control over what's done with that record. So that over the years, perhaps that's increased my feeling of oneness with musicians, that like them, I'm shut out from basic control and ownership of the fruits of my labors.
Have you ever, while in the studio watching a musician play through the glass wall, wished that you were a musician yourself?
No, I think that possibly one of my greatest strengths, if not my greatest strength as a producer, is that I am not and have not been a musician, so that I do not have that burning subconscious or internal desire to be playing the chorus instead of him. I don't have the feeling that I can do it better than the guy that's out there playing it. I think that's something that has loused up a lot of record producers. I am fortunately not subject to that problem.
Record producer Oren Keepnews, his liner notes and essays about jazz are collected in the new book, The View from Within, published by Oxford University Press. This is Fresh Air.